this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bethel. So glad you're here. Hey, do me a favor right quick and just turn to your neighbor, smile really big and say to your neighbor, hey, I'm glad to be at church with you today. Now turn to your other neighbor and smile even bigger and say, I'm glad to be at church with you today. It's always fun to come hang out on Sunday morning. So today, we're going to actually close out our series. We've been in the series in the book of Proverbs. We've been talking about the book of wisdom and how God gives you and I wisdom. Last week, we talked about our choices and our decisions and how important everyday choices, everyday decisions that we wind up where we are in life. Not because of our parents and not because of the world and not because of this, but because of the choices and the decisions that we've made in our life. And so God gives us this opportunity to receive his wisdom so that we can make better choices in life. So everybody look at me. Look. I want you to know the good news is, if you have found yourself in a place that you do not like and a place that you do not want to stay, there is good news. God has given you wisdom to make choices to get yourself out of that tough situation. And so today we're going to talk about something that affects our decisions, something that affects the choices that we make. So let's read some scripture and then we'll pray and we'll get started. Proverbs chapter 12. We'll read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. That scripture says this: the thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Let's pray right quick. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, challenge us, every one of us, every age, every gender, every marital status. Lord, speak to all of us, me included. Let us leave here challenged and changed because we have heard your word and we're now applying your word to our lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. This morning I want to talk to you about two things. I told you it was things that affected our decisions and affected our choices in life. Those two things are our thoughts and our words. Our thoughts and our words. How many of you know our thoughts matter? How many of you know our words matter? There's an old saying, and I believe this old saying to be true. The old saying goes something like this: watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, because your character becomes your destiny in life. Everything, think about this. We're going to talk about thoughts for a little bit. We're going to talk about thoughts for a little bit. What goes on in your mind? What goes on in my mind? What do I ponder in my mind? What do you ponder in your mind? What do we mull around and allow to go over and over and over in our minds? What do we think about? I want to lay this out to you today, that everything starts with one simple thought. With one simple thought. Who you're going to marry started with one thought. It was 1993, Stanford, Texas, Texas Cowboy Reunion. Tubby had on them red Rocky Mountain jeans. I saw her and I had a thought. I think I can date that girl. I think I want to date her. I think that girl is pretty. I think that girl is attractive. And the more that I thought about her and them red Rockies, I ain't gonna lie, the more I thought about it, it turned into actions to me asking her on a date, which turned into, after a date, a thought come to my mind. I think I can be married to that woman. I think we can have a family together. I thought about that over and over again until I knelt down and asked her to marry me. And now we are 28 years down the road, married with 3 children, and it all started with one thought. One thought. One thought. Our thoughts matter. Me being a pastor, In 1 month, I will have been a pastor 25 years. I remember when I was 18 years old, I told my mama, I feel like the Lord has called me to preach. And my old mama said, say what, son? I remember it started with a thought. Everything starts with one thought. Some of us in here today, we're walking, let's be real, and let's get down to the nitty gritty. Some of us in here today, we are very offended this morning. Because how many know everybody walks in offense these days? Everybody is offended. Everybody is triggered. Can I tell you, if you're walking and you've been offended and you've been hurt and you've been triggered, it all started with one thought and saying, you know what? I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. I'm taking that personal. And you've let that one thought go on and on in your mind until you're walking around and you're sore and offended right now. Everything, some of us in here, we feel so unworthy. Can we talk about it? We feel like I am not good enough. I can never measure up. I will never make enough money. I do not have enough talent. I am not good looking enough. We have this thing that the enemy brings condemnation on us. And every bit of that started with one thought and thinking I'm not enough. Everything starts with one thought. Some of you, you mad this morning. You full of bitterness this morning because somebody did you wrong. And God didn't answer your prayers. And I can't believe they did that. And I can't believe I lost a loved one. And I can't believe this sickness is here. It all started with one thought. The enemy came to you and you chose that your thoughts turned into anger. Our thoughts matter. What we think about matters. I'm going to read you a scripture, Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as a man thinks within himself, so is he. As a man or woman thinks, so is he. As a man or woman thinks, so is he. Think you're not good enough, you'll never be good enough. Think that this shouldn't happen. Think angry thoughts and you'll always be angry. Think unforgiveness and you'll always struggle with bitterness. As a man or woman thinks, so are they. I'm challenging you. I'm telling you today, our thoughts, they matter. They matter to life. Like I'm a preacher. I told you I've been preaching for 20-something years, and I love to read the scripture. I love to read the Bible. The Bible is so life-giving. The Bible is so encouraging. And in the New Testament, in the back half of your Bible, there's a guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and his name is Paul. He's the great Apostle Paul. And when I read his writings, man, I am blown away at what a great attitude and what a great outlook he had in life. Man, he faced so many trials. He faced so many tribulations. He had been betrayed. He had been stoned. He had been whipped with the cat of nine tails. He had so many things bad happen to him. And the last part of his life, he spends in a prison in chains and stocks, waking up every day wondering, is this the day that I will have my head cut off and my life will be over? But when you read the writings of Paul, he never felt sorry for himself. He never had a bad attitude. He never had the whiny hiney. How did Paul stay so upbeat and so encouraged? I think the answer is this. It was his mind. It was his thoughts. He didn't have a different Jesus than we have. Come on, somebody. He didn't have a different anointing of the Holy Spirit that we have. He just had control of his thoughts. And I think he wrote to us in the book of Philippians, and I think he laid out the example that he used that you and I can use as well to help us overcome our bad thoughts. Philippians 4:8-9. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, after you've prayed, finally, after you've fasted, finally, after you've went to church, finally, after you've read the Word of God, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think about the good things, Paul says. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul said, think about the good things. How many of you got some good things in your life? Come on, somebody. How many of you got some things worthy of praise in your life? How many of you got some things of excellence in your life? How many of you know the enemy is great, our minds are great, at getting us to focus on the one or two things that aren't going our way and to forget about the 1,000 things that are worthy of praise? Oh, don't make me stay there now. All this stuff is good. My marriage is good. My children are good. The church is going good. But one person said this, or one prayer is not getting answered, and the enemy gets us focused on those few things. And Paul says, no, 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 no. Anybody can focus on the negative. Anybody can have the whiny, hiney. Anybody can be poor, pitiful me. Paul said, lift up your eyes and focus on the excellent things and the things that are worthy of praise. Because Paul knew what we thought about would affect everything in our life. From the very beginning of time, if we go back to the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, we'll see everything started with a thought. One thought. God has created the earth. He's created male and female and created them in a way that they can come together and be one flesh and they can reproduce and have children. And God says, you'll have dominion. And God says, you're in charge. And God says, you are my representative and you'll walk in the very glory of God. God says, I will meet with you. God has given them all these precious promises and set them up for success. And the enemy comes in Genesis 3:5. God says, you got all this, but don't eat from that one tree. And the enemy comes in Genesis 3:5. Says, if you eat from that tree, Eve, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God. And you will know good and evil. The enemy came in and lied. How many know the enemy is a liar? He is the father of all lies, and the enemy comes, and he lies to us, and he lied to Eve. And at that moment, Eve started thinking about what the devil said. How many of you know we should focus more and think more about what God says than what the devil says, or what our flesh says, or what our neighbor says, or what the world says? Because the word of God is true and it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the promises of God are yes and amen. But Eve said, I'm going to focus on what the devil said. She said, if I eat that fruit, my eyes will be open. She got prideful. I will be like God. I will be lifted up. And she thought about it and she thought about it and she thought about it and she thought about it. And her thoughts finally turned to actions. And she ate of the fruit. And what else did she do? Dang her old hide. Gave it to her husband to eat too. It all started with a thought of entertaining what the enemy said and entertaining the lies. Genesis 6:5. I want you to see this scripture. It's really powerful, I think. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man. Think about this. God saw the wickedness of me and you. God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great on the earth, watch this, and that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. The wickedness of man is that we think wicked thoughts in our hearts, because God knows thoughts turn to actions. Here's the problem. The problem is evil thoughts, wicked thoughts, ungodly thoughts, negative thoughts, unproductive thoughts, if not dealt with, they only get worse and worse and worse. And if negative thoughts and hateful thoughts and evil thoughts are not dealt with and cast out of our mind, they turn to schemes. That just sounds like a dirty word. Come on, somebody. Schemes. Job 21:27. Behold, I know your thoughts and your schemes to wrong me. Schemes, thoughts and schemes, because thoughts turn to schemes, actions. See, it's okay to think a bad thought. We all have those. Can I hear a good amen? But we have to recognize them and go, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to ponder that, because if we allow those thoughts, those negative thoughts, those hateful thoughts to mull over and roll over again and again and again, and it's a record on repeat over and over again, sooner or later it will turn into scheming. Now I'm not just thinking a bad thought, but you know what? Now I'm going to let this worry that's been going on in my mind. How many of you struggle with worry? Worrying about this, worrying about your kids, worrying about your future, worrying about what's going on. If you start letting it go on, you'll start scheming, and worry comes in, and fear comes in. What about this? Anger comes in. You let it go over and over and over and over, and now you're angry. Now you're angry at your spouse. And not now where you're just angry at your spouse, but you're scheming of how you're going to get back and how you're going to repay your spouse. Come on, somebody. Or your friends, or somebody, or your children, or your parents. You start scheming. We have got to learn to deal with and extinguish negative thoughts, because negative thoughts will overtake our world. I see people all the time, and I'll be honest with you, most of the majority of the conversations that I have are negative thoughts. They just are. They're problems, they're struggles, they're issues where someone is hurting. And here's what people say to me all the time. They go, I've just had the world's worst day. Today's been an awfully bad day. And I say, well, what happened? And usually what happened is they didn't have a bad day. They had one bad moment. And they chose to live in that moment and ponder and think about that and let that moment linger on, and it went and it ruined their whole day. How many of you know you can have a bad moment? You can have a bad time, and you can choose in your mind to say, that is over with, that is done, and that will not dictate the rest of my day or the rest of my life. I had the conversation with one of my best friends last week. Here's when you talk about thinking, maybe this will help some of you. How do we overcome some of this? Think about waffles and spaghetti. When I was a little boy, we used to eat Eggo waffles. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we'd put them in the oven. We didn't even have a toaster oven. We'd put them in the oven, put it on broil. Can I get a witness? And we got ours, and we put peanut butter on ours. We put butter and then peanut butter and then syrup. And I was, back in the day, I would put just enough syrup to fill up every little square like that. And then I had it cut up. I could cut two slices and cut around the squares and eat and make a nice little deal. And so you know what? Waffles have squares. Spaghetti is all jumbled together. And if you want to be strong-minded and you want to be aware of your thoughts, here's what you have to do. This is one square. This is my waffle. When I go from one square to the other square, the next square has nothing to do with the previous square. So when I go out of one square into the next square, I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to choose the joy of the Lord, and I'm not going to be like spaghetti and let everything be jumbled up together. Thoughts, man, think about that. Maybe hopefully that helps you just a little bit. Helps me anyway. Jeremiah 4:14. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from evil that you may be saved. How long will you let those wicked thoughts lodge within you? Like, how long? I wonder how many of us are held captive by our thoughts today. I wonder how many of us are held captive by our thoughts today. And I get it, life is unfair, and I get it, maybe people mistreated you, and I get it, it didn't go the way that you wanted it to go, but how long are you going to allow those thoughts to stay in your mind and continue to ruin the blessings that God has for you? I can't do it for you. I wish I could. I wish I could good. I wish I could. I'd buy olive oil, buy the 55-gallon barrel. I would sling oil all over all of you. I would lay hands on you. I would pray for you in English and in tongues and in Spanish. I would do everything I could. But at some point, you got to go, I'm not letting these thoughts lodge in my mind anymore. I'm going to renew my mind and live each day as a new day. You have to do that. I think about one of the greatest examples of that is athletes. One of my favorite athletes, and I'm not a huge sports guy, but like Michael Jordan, come on, somebody. Like, I don't care what they say on Instagram or what NBA says, LeBron James is not the GOAT. LeBron James is a titty baby. Michael Jordan is the GOAT, man. And I read this article that he wrote one time that they interviewed him, and he's like, you know what? I missed over 9,000 shots in my career. 26 times I was called on to make the game-winning shot, and I missed it. I didn't produce But what we can learn from him is he didn't whine about the last shot that he missed. He said, this is a new waffle. This is a new game. Give me the ball. I have confidence I can make it this time. And some of us need to quit focusing on the past and quit focusing on when we missed and when we got it wrong and say, this is a new season and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to renew your mind and watch what you think. You say, Cody, I want to get rid of these thoughts. How do I do that? How do I do it, Cody? Help me. Okay, first of all, I'm going to help you. First of all, you got to recognize that you're bad-minded. Because some of you folk in here, you bad-minded. You are bad-minded. You are bad-minded. Everything is wrong, and everybody is against you, and nothing is ever going to go right for you. You have to recognize, you know what? It's not that you're a bad person. It's that somehow this thought entered into your mind. You entertained that thought, and now it's become a habit in your life. And if you want to have a different outcome, you got to change some habits. So you got to change the way you think. You got to be strong and you got to be courageous. You got to go, okay, here's the issue. I'm going to be strong and I'm willing to change. And then you have to ask God for help. It's not easy changing the way you think. Can I hear a good amen? And how many of you would agree with me on this? The older you get, the more you get set in your ways. The older you get, the more you get set in the way that you think and the way that you view the world. It's not easy to change our minds, but it is very, very doable. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hands or say amen or nothing else, how many of us need to change the way we think? It's doable. You can do it. Look at me. Look. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. The devil is a liar. You can do it. You can change the way you think. How do I do it? Number one, by reading the Word of God. How many know there's power in the Word of God? It's at our fingertips. It's at our hands. It's on our shelf at home. It's on our phone. It's on our iPad. It's everywhere. There is power in the Word of God. Did you know there are between 350 and 400 verses in the Bible that deal with our mind, our thoughts, and our internal reasoning? The reason that there's 350 or 400 is because God knew we would struggle with our thoughts. And he's going, here they are. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. If we live a life that lines up with the word of God, our thoughts will be turned to goodness, godliness, holiness, and righteousness. The second thing we got to do is we got to renew our minds. That sounds simple. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Look at me. Are you willing to renew your mind? By God, I ain't changed. That's the way granddaddy and them did it. That's the way daddy and that's the way mama and them did it. That's what I was taught. By God, I ain't changing. I'm not going to renew my mind. Are you willing to renew your mind and say, God, help me? I'm just convinced our lives and our relationships would change if we'd renew that mind. The bottom line is this. If we don't learn to control our thoughts, here's what will happen. Isaiah 59:7. Their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, bad thoughts, desolation, and destruction are their highways. Change your stinking thinking or allow it to take you to destruction and desolation. And because here's what happens. We start getting our thoughts jacked up. Guess what happens next? Our thoughts become our words. I wonder how many of us need to change the words that we say to the people around us. How many of you get angry, mad, ticked off, and you just say anything to try to get the upper edge? Pow, to cut somebody or whip them with a whip. Come on now. Our thoughts turn to our words. What you say matters. How you say it matters. When you say it matters. How we speak changes everything. It changes the atmosphere around us. It changes everything. Not only do the things that we speak change us, but it changes our people around us. I don't want my children to grow up in a home where it's constant nagging and grapping and bellyaching and complaining and fussing and fighting. I want my children to grow up in a home where we speak life and it changes their lives as well. Sometimes we got to be reminded our words matter. I want to finish up with some scripture this morning, just sharing with you the power of our words, just to remind you and to remind me the power, the effect, and the results of our words. Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. A gentle tongue. How many of you are like me? I need some help with the gentle tongue sometimes. I like it, girl. Thanks for being honest. And here's what we do. You know what we do? You know what we do? You know what we do? We're gentle with people at church, but we're harsh with the people we live with. We're gentle with other people's kids, but we're harsh with our own kids. A gentle tongue. If we think good thoughts and we're thinking righteous thoughts and godly thoughts, then we start to speak and we can learn to speak with a gentle tongue, and it's a tree of life. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb. They're sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Health to the body. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life in the power of the tongue. Words, gracious words, are like healing to the body. If you've been to church here at all, you know how I raised my kids. We raised our kids. If you're sick, do not let it come out of your mouth. My kids would be like, Will, he had the bellyache all the time. He's the weakest bellied kid I've ever seen in my life. I've always had the bellyache. It's time to go to bed. I said, son, get your butt in the bed and don't tell me you're sick one more time and don't tell me your stomach hurts. I said, you get in that bed and you tell me, don't you just think you're sick? Don't you just think that you're well? You think, you speak it out. I'm well. I'm well. We all used to say this when I put him in the bed. I'm not sick. I'm well. I'm going to have a good night. I'm going to sleep all night. I said, say it again, son. He said, I'm not sick. I'm well. I'm going to have a good night. I'm going to sleep all night. I said, say it again, son. He said, I'm not sick. I'm well. I'm going to have a good night. I'm going to sleep all night. We told all our kids that. Clara, this little knuckle-headed 14-year-old baby girl of mine, my strongest-willed one of all my kids. I'm telling you, that girl can think herself out of being sick. And she'll speak it out of her mouth. Here's what I do to them at home until they get a cough, you know. I said, I'm fixing to go get you a shot of whiskey if you don't stop that cough. And they go, I'm good, Dad. I don't need a cough. I'm not coughing at all. It's power in our words. Power in what we say over ourselves. Come on, y'all. Some of you speaking that junk over yourself, speaking that junk, speaking that sickness, you've taken it. Jesus. How many of you heard the old timers? You ever talk to an old timer? You say, well, what happened to old Jim? I'll tell you, old Jim, by golly, he died last year. He took the old cancer and he died. You ever heard anybody say that? And I think to myself, yep, he took it. He took the Wuhan flu. No. Here's what I'm saying. Don't take it. Come on, somebody. When you start saying, I got this, and when you start saying, I'm going to die, and when you start saying, I'm going to get a divorce, and when you start saying, my kids ain't doing right, you're taking it on because there is power of life and death in our tongues. Let's don't take it. Let's say we're not the bottom, but we are the top. We are not the last, but we are the first. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Don't take what the devil lies to us about. Oh, I got to go. Listen to this scripture. Matthew 15:11. It's not what goes in your mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth is what defiles a person. We're healthy eaters and we try to eat right, but it's not what goes in our mouth, it's what comes out of our mouth. That speaks poison and toxicity and danger and James 3:10, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Conrad worship team, come help me close this thing. The fact of the matter is, the book of wisdom teaches us this. Our thoughts matter and our words matter. And we have to take an honest look at ourselves and go, you know what? What controls my thoughts? Because your thoughts turn into your words. And you got to look at your life and ask, are the words coming out of my mouth life-giving? Are the words coming out of my mouth driving back darkness? Because here's the bottom line. Are you still with me? Can I hear a good amen? Watch your thoughts. Because your thoughts become your words. Watch your words, because your words become your actions. Watch your actions, because your actions become your habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. Watch your character, because that becomes your destiny. Everything starts with one thought, one simple thought. It's time that you and I receive the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that dwelt in the great Apostle Paul when he was in prison. And that Spirit came and filled him up and gave him the mind of Christ. And that same Spirit gave the Apostle Paul discernment between true and false, between right and between wrong, between good and between bad. And Paul used the discernment of the Holy Spirit to say, I will cast any negative and ungodly thought out of my mind, and I will receive and think on everything that is good and is of God. It's time for us. Live in the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Watch our thoughts and watch our words. Because here's the deal. You can entertain those thoughts in your mind. Here's what I want you to hear in closing. Thoughts do not live in your head rent free. Sooner or later, the rent is going to be due. Thoughts do not live in your head rent-free, because sooner or later, the rent is going to be due. What kind of thoughts are living in your mind? Some of us need to repent of our thoughts, repent of our words to God, and we need to make a commitment to change our thoughts and our words. Some of us need to go to some people in our own lives and ask for forgiveness for thinking negative and hateful thoughts and speaking hateful words. Change your thoughts, change your words, change your relationships, and change your life. I'm asking you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'll pray for you, and then we'll close with one more song of worship. Holy Spirit, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for good people, for godly people, for people that show up on a Sunday morning. But so many of us, Lord, we've fallen off into this habit of letting these thoughts come in and infiltrate our minds. And we're just thinking about them over and over and over again. And Lord, unwillingly, we've just allowed that to transform our words and transform our actions. And now we've fallen into this rut. And today, Lord, I pray you would challenge us to come out of that rut. I pray you would challenge us to look at our own thought process, not our spouses, not our kids, but look at our own thoughts and have courage to admit I'm a little bit bad-minded. And in that moment, Lord, I pray we would say, Holy Spirit, come, change my thoughts. Because when our thoughts change, our words change. And it changes everything, Lord. So speak, move, do what only you can do. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's stand on your feet and let's close with worship today.